a downright colossus that one would be reluctant to encounter on a battlefield. The public treated him with respect. They were certainly afraid of the King of the Zulu, who had taught our British army a crushing military defeat at Isandlwana 3.5 years ago. However, Cetshwayo was no longer a threat. After our soldiers finally gained the upper hand in the conflict with the Zulu tribes, the king merely retained a formal function. However, that was also the reason for his presence in London, as I told Holmes at the breakfast table. "You need to know," I began, "that Zululand, located northeast of Natal, has been a significant force in the region since the reign of Shaka, the great-uncle of Cetshwayo. They kept the Boer settlers on their toes, while the empire was able to consolidate its positions around the Cape Colony. As a result, however, there were conflicts, because of course the British also had to gain control of the areas in the northeast." "Do we have to?" asked Holmes after he had parked his teacup. "You are describing it as a military conquest and an annexation of foreign territories." I made a defensive hand gesture and said, "But no, that's not the way it is. You must not think of Zululand as a proper state. On the contrary, we have brought law and order to this region. Otherwise, the tribes of the Zulu, the Xhosa, and others would sooner or later have obliterated each other."